You're with Yarra Valley FM 99.1. Going to hand over to Michael Goodrich with the Community Connection Show.
And welcome to our Community Connection Show, the first Wednesday of the month from 2 to 3 o'clock. My name is Michael Goodrich. I'm the Community Development Officer. The Yuppie Yarra from Yarra just councils. So that's all the way from Wandon up to out to Powertown, all the way to Reefer McMahon's Creek and all the townships and the places, the beautiful places in between. So it's been lovely to join you today, and hopefully you're staying safe and warm with all the big floods, and your families are all well and safe as well. And we've got a jam-packed show today with some great guests today. First off, we've got Leslie from Good Life Farm up in Yarra Glen talking about the Good Life Farm and all the great work they do. Then we have Dan and Thomas from our youth team, and Thomas is our youth advisory committee member, talking about what they're up to. And lastly, I've got Rose from Hillsville Library talking about what's happening in the libraries and a few great events. November's a jam-packed month, so much happening in November in the Valley, in the Upper Yarra, local events this weekend and all the way up to the end of November as well. To kick off, we're going to introduce you to Leslie Porter. Hello, Leslie.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, very, very well. And thank you so much for joining us. From Yarra Glen, on site at Good Life Farm.
Yeah, it's Chum Creek, actually.
Chum Creek. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're right. I love Chum Creek, so it's Chum Creek.
And how have you been over the storms? Over the big rain here? How's the farm going?
Yeah, it's good, mate. We've had a few trees down and pretty wet and muddy, but I think it's what it's like living on a farm, and that's the way it is.
Yeah,
Mother Nature is doing her thing.
Yes. Yeah, it's amazing what Mother Nature can do as well. But I can see the sun coming out now, which is lovely, and hopefully it'll be a bit more this afternoon as well. So Good Life Farm, you've been at Good Life or on the site there for 40 years. So tell us a bit about the origins of Good Life Farm.
So I had quite a traumatic childhood and moved to Hillsville when I was 11 years old. A lot of trauma. Started work at a riding school and holiday farm and volunteered and started working there, and it just changed my life. It was a lot of kids went there that were in boarding schools. They stayed there the whole holiday, so they didn't really have parents either. I'd lost all my parents in a car accident when I was 5 years old and was the only survivor. So I just got there and, you know, I made friends. It was a sense of belonging. The animals and all the other kids, and it just had a huge impact. So, you know, I got married, bought this farm in Chum Creek Road with my husband, and always had an idea that one day I was going to do something with youth. I had been a little athletics coach. I taught at Hillsville Pony Club and was the DC. Had a lot to do with kids all my life, and so it's quite a passion. And, went back to school in my 40s and was told by one of the teachers at Swinburne, don't bother doing it. It never worked. We've got no accreditation. And I'm one of those people who, if you say don't do it, I'm like, yeah, whatever. And so off I went. Yeah, no insurance, no nothing. And it's been a blast. We now have 12 people working on the farm, psychologists, mental health workers, youth workers, counsellors, and I'm still on the floor working as well. So, I was self-sustainable for a while, and the whole idea of it was actually to try and reach as many of the sort of underprivileged young people that I could in the Yarra Valley, or young people that are falling through the gaps. That was my whole idea and the origin of the farm.
Yeah. And it's pretty hard, I think, especially like for young people. Imagine the last few years of feeling disconnected and the toing and froing of starting school, not starting school, and the impacts of home life. And, you know, people might be love work studying from home or going to school from home, but if your home's not a safe place for you or is a really challenging place, it's been a really tough time for a lot of young people, especially recently as well. And so people don't know much about Good Life Farm. What does that offer for young people?
So it's a 10-week program working with the terms of the school. It's one day a week from 9:30 to 1:30. And It's an intensive program. So we only have 6 young people here at a time. And the same people attend for the 10 weeks in that group. And we have up 4 workers. So the ratio is 1-2. It's an intensive program. And it's a life and social skill program, which is really looking at the animals and how they get on, looking at their body language, looking at the environment, and also socially watching how those animals connect with each other, how their body language works. We play a lot of icebreaker games. We go on hikes. We do push bikes. It's very relationship-based. So it's all you need to form. We are very social beings, people.
Yes.
And we need a sense of belonging and we need to feel safe and community makes us feel safe. And the farm really sort of encourages that, develops that. We get a lot of young people that are unique. They have unique challenges. Some are on the spectrum. Some are foster. Some are resi. Some are homeschool. There is no criteria except at the ages from 7 to 17.
Yeah.
So anyone back. Some kids are spoiled, to be honest. And then they go to school and the other kids, you know, they won't share and they're not very easy to get on with. And then the other kids start ostracising them because, you know, they don't know the word no or don't know how to play. And so the program is to teach boundaries for some young people and social skills and how to fit nicely in a society or in a herd, basically.
Yeah, it's amazing the amazing teacher nature and animals can be as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, incredible. Yeah,
absolutely.
And so 7 to 17, such a big age range as well. So obviously you've got some really great support there, like 1-2 ratio for the for a child, from adults to children as well.
We do, sorry to interrupt, we do one-on-ones as well, but within that group.
Yes.
But they might go and do some stuff by themselves for a while and then come and do the team leaderboards together and then leave again and slowly we'll integrate those young people. Depending on some young people, it's just keeping them safe. That's why we might have to do one-on-ones.
Yeah, it sounds like really meet those young people where they're at on that day and then work from that point onwards. Yeah.
And we've got really large animals. So we've got horses, dogs, alpacas, donkeys, goats, sheep, dogs, pigs, turkeys, geese, an axolotl, and I probably missed something, but we have 11 different species of animals.
Wow.
So there's, you know, a chance to interact with all sorts of things.
Yeah. And all your experience, I'm curious, like all your experience working on the farm there and starting the farm and working with the young people as well. What do you, if you know, parents are listening or carers listening or something in the young person's life and that young person's struggling, is there any advice or sort of tips you can give to those carers or parents around if somebody's, a child's struggling, how to connect with that young person and maybe some easy ways to sort of support them to help feel connected and feel belonged?
You mean in general?
Yeah.
I think one of the things that we sort of hope that is if the young person comes to the farm or anyone, that they start doing some social activities. If you can get into some clubs or some groups or anything like that, it's always a benefit. Just getting outside and going for a walk every day is huge.
Yeah.
I know that's there's a saying, keep it simple, stupid.
Yes, yep.
And I would back that 100%. The things that we take for granted are the things that really make a difference.
Yeah, it's so true. And those simple things, like you say, like go for a walk or just go for a talk with somebody. And it seems so basic, but you realise how important it is for everybody, not just and doing on a regular basis too.
You go to the skate park or you go somewhere with your kids and then there's other kids. Before you know it, someone starts talking to them and you know, it's just, it's putting in a bit of time, a bit of effort. And to be honest, getting off mobile phones and getting off devices. I'm old school, I hate to say it. But you can't believe the difference in if you get off that phone and get off those devices and experience life in the moment and be present. This makes a huge difference.
Yeah, get your hands dirty. That's the main thing about on the farm with animals too, is that it really opportunity to contribute and be a part of something and have a role and have responsibilities. And that's really a hugely empowering experience to be able to have a job and have to look after an animal and be caring for somebody else.
We have a very strict routine here. The first thing is we have a team meeting in the morning and do their highs and lows, see how everyone's going. And every week all the animals are fed. They do a different animal each week. And rain, hail or shine, gumboots, coats are on, and off the kids go and feed all the animals. Of course, there's a worker with them. And that means picking up pig poo and changing water and doing all that stuff. And it's interesting to watch young people at first like, ew, and then they get a real sense of pride in it. You know, they learn about what that animal is and they, it's an experience that, you know, it's a positive experience.
Yeah, I guess new for many people too, like so young people may have the opportunity to contribute, to be a contributor in their home and in their place as well. It is hard to start off with, but then you really have this real strong sense of power that you can contribute and you have a sense of worth as well. It's quite an important thing to have in your life.
Yeah.
And so you've just had a bit of a fundraiser just recently as well.
Yes, we had a comedy for a cause, and that's a great thing. So a lot of local businesses donated, things, and we had a silent auction and a raffle, and then all the adults get there and we watched, there were four comedians, and it's really funny. It's a good night. Yeah. And we raised $3,000, which means we can put a young person through the farm for a term pro bono.
Fantastic. Means like, so if somebody wants to be referred, they can actually be able to do that without their experiencing financial hardship for the family, they're able to do that and not be out of pocket or try to have to work out how they can do that, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so people like want to learn a bit more about Good Night Farm or know how they can help support as well. What can they do?
Yeah, so we have a website and it's just goodlifefarm.org. And if you get onto our website, there's a place there to donate. There's all our information about all our workers and their profiles. There's a thing about all the animals that are here and their names and who they are and how they work with the young people. And it's also got a model on it, so how and what our sort of basis is behind the theory, the therapeutic program, and how to refer. Like you can come through, ring Bronnie and she'll help you with the referrals, or Anglicare, all those major services know of the Good Life Farm. And you need a young person that likes animals and likes being outdoors.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's not everyone's cup of tea, I promise you. really hot weather and flies. But, so it's either ring Bronnie or through some of those services and they'll put you in touch with us.
Yeah, lovely. And so, you want to refer through there as well and find them on the website and to the website. And any other sort of like top donations or other support that people can offer that you're looking for as well?
Sorry?
Any other types of donations?
When they go to the website, that sort of steers you into the direction of whether you want to support a young person or support an animal or a project that we might be having going on.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Liz. It's amazing to hear the story of Good Life Farm and the work you do as well, and such incredible work. You said you've bumped into people, young people who you worked with years ago, now adults, and they used to remember you, and it's just amazing that that one term or that period of time there must be so impactful for their lives, and really, changing the direction of their life and a new path that they could go through as well.
Yeah, no, it was absolutely beautiful, and it makes me. For all the hard work, when you get a smile from a young person and they come up and give you a big hug and whatever, I think, oh, well, awesome. When I was a grumpy girl and, do what you're told, putting into boundaries, I thought they wouldn't, but yes, it was nice to know that they appreciate it later.
Yeah, fair but firm.
That's it.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Leslie. Again,
no worries. Thanks, guys.
That website is goodlifefarm.org to find more information. If you want to be able to sponsor a young person with there or help on a farm with the animals there to do donations, or if you want to refer a young person as well, it's all there at goodlifefarm.org. After a song now, and next we have Dan and Thomas.
Oh, I got 25 cents in the ashtray, scratched up $12 cheap shades, a quarter tank on a highway, dreaming someday. for a dream and a ticket to catch it. Somewhere out there in the middle of the noise in the midtown traffic, but I gotta have it. 200 miles for $100 and folks to hear me sing. I know it might not seem like much from the outside looking in, but I got 25 cents in the ashtray, scratched up $12 cheese shades, a quarter tank on a highway, dreaming someday. But if I do, I know I won't try again. So I'm all in. I got a beat up car, no credit score, like I'm 19. And I keep fading. As long as these four wheels keep on turning, I ain't slowing down. If I wake up with a song, then I'll be the richest girl in the world. And I got 25 cents in the ashtray, scratched up $12 sheet shades, a quarter tank on a highway, dreaming someday. Ain't no other way I'd have it. Isn't it kind of romantic? 'Cause one day I'm gonna look back at living the good days, living the good days now. Living the good days now. Scratched up $12 cheap shades. Ain't no other way I'd have it. Isn't it kind of romantic? 'Cause one day I'm gonna look back at living the good days, living the good days now. Living the good days now. Oh, I've got 25 cents in the ashtray. Scratched up $12 cheap shades. Living the good days.
Good afternoon. My name's Dan Joyce. I'm just calling in from the Yarra Rangers Council office. I'm the Youth Development Officer, and I have here with me Thomas Hobley, who is one of my fantastic young people in my youth advisory committee. Would you like to maybe give a bit of an introduction to yourself, Thomas?
Thank you, Dan. Yes, my name's Thomas. I'm a member of the Yarra Rangers Youth Advisory Group and also is part of the Youth Celebration Task Force at the Yarra Rangers.
Yeah, great. Can you tell me a little bit about the Celebrating Youth Task Force or the Celebrating Youth events?
Absolutely. So we've got this really exciting event coming up for Wednesday, the 7th of December, and it's called Celebrating Youth. And essentially, we're a task force of young people in the Yarra Rangers, and it's an event run by youth for youth to celebrate the achievements and the great work that a lot of young people are doing in the Yarra Rangers. So we've got 6 award categories that we're hoping to judge people in the Yarra Rangers on and hand out some awards for.
Yeah, great. And what are the nomination categories that you have? What are the 6 categories?
So we have a Resilience Award, so for a young person who's persevered in a time of great challenge, a Young Entrepreneur Award, obviously for a young person who may have started a small business or project, Community Improvement Award, Passionate Advocate Award, Environmental Sustainability Award, and a Creative Arts Award.
Yeah, great. That's like a lot of really great categories, I think, to recognise young people on. Why do you think they're important to recognise, like those categories in particular?
So within the task force, so there was a group of young people who we decided these awards. We chose these awards as we thought that they were promoting, they're really promoting positive values and improvement within the Our Rangers. And so these awards are all for categories that we thought, they reflect a great work towards improving the Our Rangers. And so these categories, such as resilience, particularly in a time post COVID-19 lockdowns, having resilience and community improvement as well within the Community Improvement Awards is, we're just trying to reflect, the great bounce back that a lot of people are doing post lockdowns.
Yeah, amazing. That's really cool. And I think it's like, especially at the moment with all of the floods and everything going on, it's a really challenging time. This is what we were talking about before, for young people and for people in general at the moment. So it's really awesome that you want to recognise just those things in particular. I think that's great. So why do you, why do you reckon an event like this is important?
I think that within our local area, in terms of councils, seems to be a bit of a disconnect between young people and council. So we're really trying to promote youth voice and, and also celebrating the achievements that young people are making. And I think it's really important that we've, these are the people of our future, us as young people, and we're going to be inheriting, a lot of things within the Our Rangers. So it's very important that, we're valuing the opinions and celebrating young people.
Yeah, that's amazing. And so how did something like this come about? Is it something that's run previous years, or has it changed a little bit, or
So the award has been running for a few years now, but this year the council wanted to change it up a bit and wanted to essentially have this task force, so a group of young people to foster this project. So really having youth celebrating youth, led by youth for youth, if you will, and this led to the formation of the task force. So we're a group of people. So I am one of the representatives from the Our Rangers Youth Advisory Group, but we also have people from the Freezer and also youth ambassadors within the Our Rangers working on this task force.
Yeah, great. And so how would, if I was I know a young person in the Yarra Rangers and they're doing this really, really awesome work, and I really think that they, maybe I want to nominate them for something like the Young Entrepreneur Award, how would I go about doing that?
Yeah, absolutely. We really are employing people to get on board and nominate people. So the way to do that is through the council's website. So I tested this earlier. Even if you just type in Celebrating Youth Awards Yarra Rangers, it's the first thing that comes up on Google. And that's just on the Yarra Rangers website, where you see a breakdown of the different awards. And there at the bottom is a form under Nominate a Young Person. And it's just a brief nomination form. You can nominate yourself, individual or a group. And you can choose your award and really explain why you think they deserve the award. So I would really recommend people get on board with that form. Nominations do close on the 7th of November, but still a little bit of time left. And so really, it's as simple as hopping on the website, putting in a bit of information about the person, why you think that they deserve to be one, and then the task force have organised a group of diverse people to assess the nominations and break down the criteria and award those awards.
Yeah, great. That's really cool. And so it was on the 7th of December, the event, that's right, yeah?
Yeah, 7 o'clock on the 7th of December at the Moorbark Community Centre.
Awesome. Well, I hope we get lots of people there, and it's amazing. You mentioned before you were part of the Youth Advisory Group. Would you like to talk a little bit more about that, maybe how you got involved with it and what is involved with the Youth Advisory Group?
Absolutely. I think that the Youth Advisory Group is a really valuable asset to the council. Obviously, I may hold a bit of a bias on that opinion, but I really do feel as though involving young people in council decision is such an important thing, because young people, as I mentioned, are going to be inheriting a lot of the policies and projects that are undertaken in the Our Rangers. So it's really important that they have a say. And so I got involved in the Our Rangers Youth Advisory Group earlier this year, after it was actually at a council consultation event where I was, you know, I was speaking to one of the engineers that they recommended I join the Rangers Youth Advisory Group. And I think there's about 16, 17 of us aged between 13 and 25 selected as representatives of young people in the region. And we're a really diverse group. You know, we all have our own different passions and we all work together on trying to improve life for young people in the Rangers. So it's a really good cause by the council.
Yeah, right. It sounds like you're really passionate about youth voice and just generally doing some great stuff in the community. So that's really awesome to hear. Do you think young people are often heard or like, you know, celebrated like at events in like celebrating youth, or is it something that should happen more? Is it, yeah, like what are your thoughts there?
I think myself and also I'm sure I speak for the rest of the task force really believe that young people need a lot more recognition in the community and also a lot more representation, and that sort of goes into why I believe it's important that we have a youth advisory group. You know, most young people don't understand a lot about council or a lot about their local area, and so recognising people and representing people within the Air Rangers and particularly young people is very important, and I think that's something that you know, I'm very passionate about.
Yeah, amazing. And so what are some things that other organisations might be able to do to be able to recognise their young people?
So obviously up until the 7th of November, we recommend people absolutely nominate people. But beyond that, just working and listening to young people is incredibly important. A lot of the time organisations will do surveys and these type of attempts at engagement within young people. But often these are seen as a bit of a barrier for young people. And I really think the best way is to just speak of young people and give them a voice to celebrate each other and get their voice heard.
Yeah, amazing. And do you have any recommendations on maybe young people that are really passionate about getting their voice across, like how they might be able to reach out to, yeah, doing more of that sort of work?
Absolutely. I do appreciate it. It can be very daunting to contact council and to get involved in that type of thing. A lot of council groups and that type of thing can seem a bit bureaucratic or scary, but I really would recommend young people who are wanting to get involved to reach out to your local councillor in your council ward, because these are people who actively work to improve the Air Rangers. And from my experience, if you're a bit apprehensive or unsure how to contact council or how to, you know, have an opinion, just even look up on the council website the email address of a councillor and send them an email asking for, you know, giving them some ideas or asking how you can get your voice heard. And, you know, I just think the first step is always the biggest and the most daunting, but I really would recommend everyone get involved if they can in, you know, having their voice heard.
Amazing. Thank you so much for your time, Thomas. I really appreciate that.
Thank you for having me.
Finally, again, if you want to nominate someone for the Celebrating Youth event, you can just go to the council website, jump on Google, like Thomas said, or you can also contact the youth team directly at youth@yarrarangers.vic.gov.au. Thanks so much for listening. I think we're going to move on to a song now. Yeah, thanks.
I'm a chico roll.
Chico roll.
At a 3-9.
And welcome back to the Council's Connection Show. This is Michael Goodrich, and you're here with Rose from the Healesville Library. Hey, Rose.
Hello. How are you?
Gone well. Like, I'm looking out some of the window now. The rain is still happening. There was a bit of sunshine, but it's still happening, still to come. So it's a good time to go to the library.
Yes, absolutely. We've got power. We've got heating.
Yep, the Wi-Fi.
Yeah, we've managed to actually impressively. I know Yarra Junction Library have had quite a few power outages, but here at Healesville we've been very lucky and we've managed to keep our power going. So it's nice to see the place fill up with everybody needing to, you know, charge a laptop or a phone or, you know, whatever they need to get done or just come and work. There's been quite a few people in the library over the last week, 2 weeks even, with the never-ending rain and the crazy winds that we've had as well.
Yeah, definitely. And you're really saying the break. You've had a jam-packed October.
October was so full right up until our last event was on Saturday. We had a massive Halloween event, which was incredible. Mm. We had probably about 100 people through the library throughout the day, which was really incredible with the magic show and, you know, just face painting and biscuit making and basket weaving, and it was a massive event, which was just so well received. People absolutely loved it. Look, that's what we want to deliver here. We are a destination library, we have decided. So our aim is to keep everybody entertained and also fed a lot of the time. We do a lot of food events, and we did have probably about 4 or 5 events over the month of October that involved eating, which is, I mean, I'm a fan.
Yes, absolutely. Breaking bread. It's great.
But we do have some more coming up in November. That's where we are, almost Christmas. Really? So here at Healesville, we've got our cards group, games group. So not just cards, sorry, it's board games and cards. On Tuesday, the 8th of November, 2 p.m., and we're moving into a beekeeping workshop, which I'm super excited about because I want to keep some bees at some point, maybe when there's a bit less rain. so that will be a really good workshop.
Yeah, and for beekeeping, that's who's running that workshop? Have you got beekeepers involved?
I haven't got the details right now in front of me, but it is... it's going to be quite a comprehensive workshop on how to, well, keep your bees and look after them. And that one's a Saturday one, which is good because I know that a lot of people struggle to get to the, you know, the weekday ones.
Yeah.
So that's 10:30 in the morning on Saturday, the 12th of November. Mm-hmm. We had an Indigenous languages display on for the last month, which was so incredible. But has finished for the end of October, and we're actually moving into a zines display because, as some of your listeners will know, we do zine making workshops every Thursday from 3 till 6 p.m. So that's every single Thursday, and we've got a display that is coinciding for the month of November. So that's really exciting. It's really just pumping along. We're getting really good numbers through the door for that, which is really exciting.
Yeah. So you see all those the best zines.
They're fantastic. Great.
And if you want to listen to this report, a zine, it's like a little magazine, isn't it? Yes.
But it can sort of be anything, you know. It sort of depends. Like the kids, some of the kids, even adults as well, make like comic books and, you know, recipe books, like little tiny mini recipe books, which is really cool.
Fit in your pocket, essentially.
Yeah, literally fit in your pocket. And it can really be anything that you want it to be. So I think that's where the fun is. We put to use, I might have mentioned it last time, we put to use all the old books or the magazines that we can't recycle, and then they get cut up and used as...
for new life.
Yeah, they get used as, you know, content for these incredible zines. And the kids, I mean, the imagination that the kids come up with, the stories and the ideas that the kids come up with are fantastic. And, you know, earlier, you know, we were talking about getting kids off their technology in particular, and this is one of those things where sometimes we'll have someone walk in and they'll kind of look and they'll be like, no, not really. And when you finally coax them over, you just see the phone go down, and you know, it's that look when you're really concentrating and your tongue starts to hang out the side of your mouth and you're like,
you're in the zone.
Get into it, and you sort of think, oh, that's good. Even if it's only 30 minutes of that day that they're off a phone and they're actually concentrating, and then they come up with something that they're really proud of. You know, we photocopy it for them at no charge, so that, you know, we can display these incredible works and they get to take their original home, which is really nice too. Yeah. So the zines is, I think it's fantastic. We'll be doing a lot more with that. We're going to be having a comic book competition, but that's further into December, January, which is coming up, which we're very excited about. But, yeah, and then we've got all e-learning sort of things coming up in November as well. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of people that want to know about audiobooks or how to use their online e-books. So we've decided to put a class together for that.
Great.
So that's going to be in November. We've got, you know, creative phone photography for those people that are really interested in getting to know their technology a bit better and how to take it.
In your pocket's an amazing tool that you can.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Do so much with it. Yeah.
And community meals, of course, as well. We've always got our meal. November was meant to be the last community meal for 2022. We do have a grant, which we're very excited about for 2023, but that doesn't take place until 2023, so we weren't sure. We only had donations up till November to sort of cover us putting a meal on, but we listened to the people when we sat down and we had the October meal. We said, you know, what else would you like to see in the library? And they said, well, we want Christmas lunch. So we will be putting on a Christmas lunch feast, Thursday the 22nd of December.
Yes.
So getting prepared for that one. And, you know, it's we're in the month before Christmas. It sounds crazy, but for listeners out there, if anybody does want to donate to that, we are at scratch with this one, and we do want to put on a nice big Christmas event. You know, I was sitting with some people who sort of said, at the last event, the October meal, that they really don't have anybody that they go out and have time to have a meal with. So when you can fill a table with 25 people and, you know, you can have a beautiful meal and just sit down and have someone else serve you, take care of you while you sit and chat and have fun, we really want to be able to provide that at Christmas, because we all know that at Christmas there's a lot of people that do end up being alone.
Yeah.
So, you know, or don't have the ability to get to their family. So anybody out there that wants to contact us at Healesville Library, please do. Our contact number is 9800 6497. You can give us a call and let us know if you'd like to jump in and contribute. We've really stretched a lot of the local businesses as much as we possibly can, but I am going to ask you to put your hands in your pockets again. Or anybody, you know, if you've got a bunch of lemon trees and you don't know what to do.
I was going to say, now it's like it springs here and then there's stuff starting to fruit as well, and most of the extra produce you've got in your backyard you'd like just to pass on. And
absolutely. We'll turn it into a meal.
Yes.
And then we'll feed everybody, which is what, you know, who doesn't love being fed?
Yeah.
So we definitely are looking forward, and we're actually pretty excited about that one. I think we were just hoping that people would say we want Christmas lunch, because, you know, that's going to be great. Yeah, that's going to be a great one. Yeah.
And the community lunches are on Thursdays once a month.
Yep.
So this November, is it the third Thursday? Correct.
It is the third Thursday. We do have our community lunch on Thursday the 24th. And we have a 12 o'clock sitting and a 1 o'clock sitting. You do have to book in, so get on the website at yourlibrary.com.au.
It's getting very popular.
It is. We are really getting filled up every – we do two sessions with 16 people at each session, and we get jam-packed. And we had such incredible gifts from the community for the last one. We had support from Verso Books, who put $150 cash towards that, which we were so grateful for. We had fruit and veg from Toscano's. We had Wild Grain Bakery, just the amount of pies and beautiful pies and pasties and all delivered nice and hot. You know, just having that help from the community was really, really incredible. And we also had Anita, who works at the library, just bake these incredible creations, these cheesecakes that were, you know, as thick as your hand, wide, and they were just brilliant. The whole library was filled with the smell of cheesecake. It was wonderful.
Sounds incredible.
Yeah, so those kind of moments where everybody gets together and chips in, and you know, you're so tired at the end of it and your legs are aching and you just want to sit down, and but you feel so fulfilled seeing that your community is, you know, is happy and getting together. And I don't know, it's a thing. It might just be because I'm a mum. I just love seeing people fed.
Absolutely. You know? Oh, I get it. And just sharing that meal together and sitting side by side and the joy it brings is incredible.
Yeah, so we love doing it. We're so excited about the grant next year because it's really going to give us the opportunity to just, like, smash out big events, which is exciting.
The third seating, maybe.
Yeah. There'll be no limit to it, will we, you know. But we do want to do, more events. We're talking about to some of the local community groups with the teens at the high school and seeing if they want to come in and be chefs for the day, the kids that are doing the cooking classes. Yep. So, you know, we really want to make this, see how far this community event can go, because it's just so fantastic. I can't not mention Yarra Junction as well. They do have a lot of events as well. So, you know, people need to jump on there too and have a look. They've got they've actually got a Australian Natives talk coming up with Peter Rogers. He's coming in for the Yarra Junction Planters Group on the 14th of November. And so that should be good. Those talks are always a big event over there. There's a Lego Locomotion on the 17th. So any of you Lego lovers, get on and book. And they've actually got a really good program that they've just started up there in conjunction with Siri, which is a Homework Heroes group. Now, it's actually helping parents with just the challenges. I know myself, when my kids brought back homework, there was times where I was, you know, the challenge was so much for me. It was beyond what I understood. And I can be the first to admit that I looked at some of their homework and their maths and went, I have no way to help you. So a group like this would have been really helpful to go in and actually get some tools and some support in how I, as a parent, could help my children with their homework. So much of school and life has ended up back in the home since we've all been in lockdowns and doing a lot of homeschool work. And those industries are trying to recover. Schooling, you know, schools are trying to recover. Teachers are trying to, you know, catch up with what they've got to do. So there is a lot for parents to get done to help support their own children. And this group, from 3:30 till 5:30 every Monday, it's there to help the parents figure out those tools that they need to help their kids through the homework challenges, which let's all admit it, sometimes grade 6 maths is just too hard.
Well, you don't, it's annoying. You've got a calculator. When we do maths, where it's like, I did back in grade 6. Brilliant. So we can find all this information out at your library.
Yes, absolutely. Jump on.
Lots on there. Well, looking forward to catching next month and hearing the planning for the Christmas feast. You said feast, so people got high expectations now.
Feast. You'll be so full, you'll be rolling out the door.
Jeez, thanks so much, Rose. We'll see you next month.
Thank you. See you later.
Cheers. Cheers. We've got lots of local events happening in November in the Valley as well. So I'm going to run through a few of these events here. They're coming up starting this weekend. The Warburton Junior Theatres presents Puss in Boots. That's by the Misfits Theatre. It's the Arts Centre in Warburton. This Saturday the 5th at 7 p.m. and on Sunday the 6th at 2 p.m. Tickets can be bought at the Arts Centre Warburton. Then we have the Yarra Valley Spring Plant Fair. That's this weekend as well, on Saturday and Sunday from 10 till 5 p.m. You can find more information, just go into your browser and search Yarra Valley Spring Fair. Also, we have the Lewin Gardens and Nursery Experience. This was an open day at Lewin Garden Nursery. It was meant to be due last month, but rescheduled to Tuesday, the 8th of November, from 2:30 to 5:30. So it's next Tuesday, 2:30 to 5:30. It's a free entry to Lewin Gardens Nursery as well, so great to come down and look at that. There is a Living the Good Life Expo on Sunday, the 13th of November, at Hillsville at the Memo, right next door to the library there as well. So it's The Secrets of Longevity and Living Well. So renowned expert in longevity, Dr. Crofis shares the secrets of living long and living well, including tips to inspire you to live long and a healthy life, inspiring to views with members of the Hillsville community. Meet locals at care, healthcare providers as well, and community groups. And you can find it more at the Yarrangers Council website. Just search the Living the Good Life as well. And we have a few special events coming up at ECOS on Friday 18th of November. There's an ECOS tour from 2 to 3pm on a Friday, and that Friday evening is the Nungaloo Festival. That starts at 3:30 till 9 o'clock. Tickets for the festival start at $5. It's a fantastic event. And there's a Welcome to Country by Kim Wondon and some great, fantastic local acts as well. Also, we had the Woori Kids Fest, which was due to be last week, but was rained out, so it's postponed till Thursday, the 24th of November, so the Woori Kids Fest at Woori Community House, and that's from 3:30 p.m. Circus events there, face painting, lots of lovely food as well, activities all for kids straight after school on Thursday, the 24th of November. And lastly, on the 26th of November, it's the Yarra Glen Living Learning Centre Open Day, and at Yarra Glen as well. It's a great day to come down on the 26th of November and check out all that's happening at the Yarra Glen Living and Learning Centre. And that's me for the month. Hope you all are staying well and stay safe over some forthcoming rains. If you've got a four-wheel drive or you've got some chain to your car, you can head up to Mount Donabuang, and there is snow on Mount Donabuang in November. How about that? So if you've got some of a four-wheel drive or some change, you can head up to Mount Donabuang this afternoon and enjoy some beautiful snow in the in spring in November. How about that? Thanks again for this this month, and we'll see you again on the first Wednesday of December from 2 to 3 p.m.